Thank you, Lord. Well, Tzav is our Torah portion today. You can see the beautiful graphic we have there. I just love that one. Some weeks they just pop out. Tzav, this one is just popping out for me this week. Tzav is from Leviticus 6:8 through 8:36. Leviticus 6:8 to 8:36 is our Torah portion. The Haftarah this week is Malachi 3:4 to 24. Now, normally we would not read Malachi 3:4 to 24 in this sequence, but this is a special Shabbat. It's a special Shabbat because Pesach starts Monday night. And because of that, this Shabbat before Pesach, before Passover, is commonly referred to as Shabbat HaGadol, the Great Shabbat. And there's special significance. I'm not going to get into all the rabbinical commentary about the significance of Shabbat HaGadol. You can Google it. Just like everything, you can Google it these days. But Shabbat HaGadol is where we're at. It's a special Shabbat. It's a Shabbat right before Pesach, and we should be really preparing ourselves. You know, before Pesach, what we do is we prepare our homes by taking out all the leaven, taking out all the what symbolizes sin. So we take out of that leaven, and, you know, symbolically, we take it out. But we should spiritually be taking all that sin out of our lives and just purging all that out. That's not of the Lord. And as we get to this special season, we should be thinking about how we can prepare ourselves, how we can get that leaven out of our lives, and how we can fill ourselves up instead of with the leaven, with the Lord. So let's fill ourselves up with the Lord today as we study on the Shabbat HaGadol. This is the 25th weekly reading in our annual cycle through reading the Torah. Leviticus 6, 8 through 9. I'm going to read those two verses in Hebrew and English, and then we'll get into our teaching today. V'yadaber Adonai el Moshe lemor, Tzav et Aharon ve'et banav, lemor zot Torat, ha'ola hi ha'ola al mokeda, el ha'matzbiach kol hayala at ha'boker ve'esh ha'masbeach tukad bo. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth of the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. Well, this is an interesting Torah portion this week, because we've been talking for weeks now about the tabernacle. And we've been talking about the different sacrifices. Last week, we talked about the five different types of sacrifices that we can have. And now we're going to dig a little deeper today, and I'm going to center a little bit more, and I'm going to focus on another segment, because we've been studying a lot about this. We've been understanding that the tabernacle is the physical dwelling place of God back then. We had a pagan world, much like we do today. We had the children of Israel being taken out physically and spiritually from that pagan world. They were brought out. They're in the wilderness. They're getting ready to enter the promised land, the land that God gave them as his chosen people. And the tabernacle represents that dwelling place of God. The Shekhinah, the divine presence of God, would come down above the mercy seat, above where the Ten Commandments were, the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies. The high priest would go in on Yom Kippur once a year and meet with God. And it was a holy, special place. And we spoke all about that. The book of Leviticus continues this theme, talking about the priests and all the sacrifices the priests had to offer. The service of the tabernacle, the service of God's sacrifices. So, central to this society that God was creating were these sacrifices and the priestly system that was going on. Now, the one true God here, the one who was the only God in the whole world. He had silenced the Egyptian gods. He had brought the people out. He had given them the tabernacle. And he now is ordaining the priests this week. We're seeing the ordination of the priests for the very important service to the temple. This is extremely important. The Torah portion Tzav has two parts to it that I want to talk about. The first part, which is chapters 6 and 7, covers the five types of sacrifices again. These are the five that we studied last week in Vayikra, the first Torah portion of Leviticus, all about the sacrifices. And this week's Torah portion again describes the five types of offerings or sacrifices that God directed the children of Israel to give through the priests. And the Torah portion today, chapter 6 and 7, goes into much greater detail about that. Okay, and we studied a little bit. We talked a lot about the burnt offering last week. There's really powerful stuff in this section. The text talks about how the burnt offering and the fire of the altar, if you've read it, the fire of the altar was to continually burn. There's a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of spiritual things we can take out of that. Unfortunately, I don't have time to talk about that today. I've decided not to really delve into that, but I just encourage you to go home and read chapter 6 and 7. You can read about the fire. You can read about the offerings again. Leviticus 8, 1 through 4. Turn with me to Leviticus 8. Today I want to talk about the consecration of Aaron and the high priests. It's very important for us to understand the role of the high priest, the role of the priests, the Levites, those called for the service of the temple and the tabernacle, those called to offer and administer the sacrifices for the people before the Lord. Extremely important service we're talking about here. You could say there's really no more important profession. Today we have doctors. We could say, oh, physicians. There's no more important position than a job than a physician. We could say, oh, emergency people, you know, EMTs and firefighters, police. There's no more important profession as that. And all those things will be true. But back then, what was the most important profession of all? Was to be a Levitical priest. Because you are literally administering those sacrifices for the atonement of the people's souls. This is big time stuff. This is heavy stuff. This is important stuff. And I want to dig right in today about the ordination, the consecration of Aaron and the high priest. Let's start with Leviticus 8, 1 through 4. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments of the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread. Verse 3, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So these sacrifices that the priests had to administer were critical. Remember last week we talked about how God is a holy God. And as a holy God, he can't fellowship with sin. There was an elaborate system that God designed to purge the sin. We talk about purging out the leaven before Passover. God had this elaborate system to purge out the sin of our lives through the tabernacle, through the offerings, through the whole presentation. And God does everything very deliberately and carefully because he cannot fellowship with sin. He is a holy God, and we are to be holy as he is holy. That is our charge. These sacrifices were critical to that end, so the people could be freed from their sins and they could connect with God in this new holy society that he is trying to get together here. Now, the priests were not picked because they were more holy than the rest of Israel. God didn't say, you know what, of all the tribes, the tribe of Levi, you're holy. You're better than the others because, you know what, Moses is from your tribe or Aaron is from your tribe. That wasn't the case. Okay, they were just as unholy of people as the rest of the tribes. People think today, oh, Jewish people, they're so blessed and everything. They're just as sinful as the rest of creation. They're people. We're people. Jew, Gentile alike. We share a common thing in common, and that is sin. Okay, you can't get around it. All of creation shares that in common. But the priests were not any different or better. They were just called differently. You know, today we're all called to different things in the body. We're all to be priests. We'll talk about that a little bit. But we're all called to important works in the body of Messiah. You may be called to clean toilets. I don't know. You may be called to work in the kitchen. You may be called to be a greeter. You may be called to preach or whatever. But whatever you're called to do, it is an important role in the kingdom of God. Because it's what God has called you to do for your role. And if we don't step up and do the roles God has called us to do, then we're not fulfilling our responsibility as priests, as ministers. We all have a role to do here. But the priests were not picked because they were somehow better or less sinful. or because they had done something great. It's just simply because God chose them for that particular task. The Lord places a lot of emphasis on the priests because they were charged to administer the sacrifices to the people. So when Moses assembles everyone at the entrance to the tent of meeting, he brings everybody. It isn't to celebrate the priests. It isn't to show how important the priests are. Look at them. They're the popular ones now in school. You know, it wasn't to show that at all. It was to say, listen, we need to listen to what God has to say. It wasn't about the priests. It wasn't about Moses. It wasn't about the people. It was about God. It's to show the relevance of God in his ways. Leviticus 8:5. And Moses said to the congregation, this is the thing the Lord has commanded to be done. So it wasn't about Aaron. It wasn't about Moses or the priests. Moses is telling the people what God wants to say. This is what we need to catch from this. So when everybody gets assembled and the priests are all presented at the entrance of the tent of meeting, this is really what it's about. We need to see here what the big picture is that God is trying to do. Aaron and his sons were priests. They had to go through this whole process. God had to put them up there. They have to go through this whole cleansing and ordination process that we're going to talk about before they could begin this important role. You can't just walk up and say, okay, God chose me to do this. I'm going to just go right in and do it, because you may not be ready to do it. You know, a lot of times we get the call from God. We get the charge from God. You're supposed to do fill in the blank. And you know it's from the Lord. You know it's from God. But maybe it's not for right now. Maybe it's not for now because you're not ready. God sometimes shows us something ahead of us. And you know, what do we want to do? We want to jump right to it. Right? We want to serve the Lord. You want to do the right thing. You want to be there and you want to say, here I am, hineni. But you know, it may not be the right time. Sometimes God shows us so that we can prepare ourselves, because we're here. We need to be here in our lives spiritually before we can do that special work. But it's going to take some time. You know, God could snap his fingers and boom, you're ready to go. But he doesn't do that. Why doesn't he do that? Wouldn't it be so easy if he did that? Yes, it would be, but it wouldn't teach us what we need to learn. See, we need to learn that God is God wants us here, we're over here, and we need to choose with our will to go there ourselves. God doesn't just snap his fingers and poof, here you go. Would we be grateful? Would we be thankful? Would we appreciate it? When you're handed things, do you appreciate it as much as if you had to work hard to get it? If you had to work hard to get something, if you had to pour into it, it means something when you get it. And this is what we're talking about here. Sometimes God shows you something in the future, and you're not ready for it. But you need to pray, Lord, show me what I need to do to get ready. Reveal to me how I need to change. Show me the things in my life I've got to work on. Prepare me, Lord God. I don't want to miss that window. But Lord, you're showing it to me now. You're giving me the time. Let me work on things in my life. Let me deal with issues I haven't dealt with. That's what we need to do. And the priests had to go through this cleansing process. They couldn't just jump in and say, okay, I'm a priest. Let's get to work. There was a process. There was a cleansing. There was a time period. There were things to be done to get ready to do that special work. And we're talking about that today. We're talking about those things God had to get them ready to minister before the people and before the Lord. You know, those of us that have accepted Yeshua in our lives, that are following after Yeshua. Thank you. That are following after Yeshua. We have accepted him in our lives, and we are called and we are told that we are priests. That we're a priesthood, followers of Yeshua. You don't have to be from the tribe of Levi. You don't even have to be Jewish. You just have to be willing. You have to have accepted Yeshua, be walking after Yeshua, and you are part of the family of God, and you are part of the priesthood today. This is scripture for us. This is what the Lord says. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2:9, the book of 1 Peter. But you, that means you and I, not talking about the priests, not talking about the leaders of the congregations, all of us. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called to be a priesthood today, just as they were called to be priests back then. So as we read about the cleansing, as we read about the consecration, as we read about the sanctification of the priesthood, think about spiritually how you need to be cleansed, how you need to be sanctified, how you are ordained for service unto the Lord, and how there's a process in your life to get there so that you are functioning 100% on the Lord's wavelength, so to speak, and you're doing what the Lord is requiring. We don't just pick it up by osmosis. We have to read the Bible. We have to pray. We have to work things out in our lives to become everything God wants us to be as priests unto him. Now, don't get me wrong. God accepts you right there where you are. But you got to start working. You got to start working on transforming your life. You got to start working on some of those habits that you've kept that are not of the Lord. Those are the things, that's the heavy lifting that we have to do as believers. Because we're called to a special task. I can't emphasize how important the priesthood was back then. And I can't emphasize how important the priesthood is today for us. But don't take it lightly. Don't take that charge that you've been given, that priesthood that you've been given, lightly. Work it out. Work out your salvation. Work out your sanctification so that you can be an effective priest of the Lord. So the priests of Aaron and his sons, they were set apart. They were kadosh. They were holy. They were anointed. They were consecrated. And they were prepared for service. We are set apart as believers. We are anointed, we are consecrated, and we are prepared for service as priests in God's kingdom, sharing the good news of Messiah Yeshua, ministering to others. This is where Leviticus points us to, our service as priests to the Lord. Now, there's a few things I want to talk about in chapter 8 today that I want us to catch. There's some rituals, there's some things that were done. And I want us to see about four different things today. The first thing is what happens at the very beginning is there's a baptism. There's immersion, or what we call a mikvah in Judaism. Leviticus 8:6. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. Okay, so this is what happens. They get assembled. They bring all these things that we read about earlier. And then all of a sudden he says, okay, let's get them ready. Let's get Aaron and his sons ready. Wash them with water. When it says wash with water, we're not talking about a little sprinkling. You know, a lot of denominations where babies are baptized are just sprinkled. We're not talking about a sprinkling. We're not talking about a washing of the hands. You know, before Pesach on Monday night, I'm going to wash my hands when we begin the Seder. When we begin the Seder presentation. It's symbolic in Judaism. We're not talking about the priests washing their hands or getting sprinkled. What we're talking about here is a full immersion in water. This is a very Jewish concept. Oh, that's a Christian concept. Oh, well, that's in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament too. Oh, by the way, Orthodox Jewish people have mikveh baths, have ritual cleansing. They do a full immersion in water. They're discovering it archaeologically in Israel. They're finding, I was just reading, I think it was last year, I read about somebody in their home in Jerusalem finds this trap door or whatever. They find this underneath, it's not a trap door, but underneath their living room, they found a ritual bath from hundreds and hundreds of years ago, probably thousands of years ago in Israel, probably thousands of years. But this is a very Jewish concept, to wash yourself, to immerse fully, a total immersion with water, not just a sprinkling. And that means being submerged. It's a full dunking. When you take a shower, when you take a bath, when you clean yourself out, you are trying to get clean. You're trying to get the germs off. You're trying to get all the things off, right? When someone converts to Judaism, they have to go through this symbolically. They have to do a ritual immersion. They have to go, and they have to go in a body of water, and they have to dunk. When people become believers, what's the thing we have them do? After they profess faith in Yeshua, what do? They go get mikvah. They go into the water, a full immersion. What does it all mean? It's symbolically meaning that you're taking your old life and you're putting it away. And you're being washed into new life. You're cleaning yourself out. You're cleaning out the chametz. You're cleaning out the leaven of your life. And it's a fresh start with the Lord. This is the symbolism here of washing the priests in water, of immersing the priests. The priests had to get ready to go before the Holy One of Israel, the Holy God, who cannot fellowship with sin. They had to get that sin out of their lives. And one of the ways, symbolically, is to dunk, to wash. And that's why God says this in Leviticus 8:6. We see mikvahs, like I said, a common thing in Israel's history. We see John the Baptist, Yochanan the Immerser, in the Gospels. What is he doing? He's proclaiming the word of the Lord. He's saying, look, kingdom of God is near. And what is he having them do? Mikvah in the Jordan River. Why? Because repent for the kingdom of God. Get rid of your sins. Prepare yourself. There is one coming that's greater than me. That's what John the Baptist is saying. And what is the one thing he's doing with them? He's doing a mikvah with them. This is the thing. This is exactly what God has. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The scriptures all point to each other. The scriptures are all in sync with each other. Back in the Torah, they were immersing the priests. Same meaning as back as in the New Testament when John the Baptist was immersing the people and saying, repent, because something's coming. Get ready. Prepare yourself. You need to be over here. You're only over here right now. Do that mikvah. It symbolizes cleaning and new life. Matthew 3, 1 through 2. Turn with me to Matthew 3. We see, you know, this is a Jewish book from Genesis to Revelation. People think, oh, it's two testaments. People think, oh, it's the Old Testament is the book for the Jews and the New Testament is the book for the Christians. No. It's one book. It's one book and it's one theme. And it's common throughout. Matthew 3, 1 through 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Matthew 3, 5 and 6. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, to John the Baptist, and they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. They were cleaning themselves out, getting themselves cleaned up. An immersion symbolizes a cleansing, and it was tied to repentance. Hebrews 10, 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. We need to let our bodies be washed with pure water. Hallelujah. The second thing I want us to look at. Turn with me to Leviticus 8. 7 through 9. This is the second thing that the priests are doing. Leviticus 8, 7 through 9. And he put the coat on him. So this is Moses dressing Aaron now for the priestly service. And he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And he placed the breastpiece on him, and in the breastpiece he put the Urim and the Thummim. And he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. So this is really interesting. There's all these special garments that are put on the priest, that are put on Aaron the high priest. They had to be dressed in these special clothes. These garments signified their positions as priest and separated them physically from the people. So, you know, appearance does matter. And our eyes are a powerful force and a powerful agent in our lives. And when people see something different, it means something to them. And physically, Aaron and his sons, the high priest, and the priests, they had to be physically different looking. Okay, because our eyes are very important. And when the people saw that, they said, oh, here's something different. They are to be regarded as different. They've been washed, they've been immersed in water. Now they're going to be putting on these new garments to symbolize that they're different, to symbolize their significance as priests and separating them physically from the people. Because of sin, we're not allowed to go into the Holy of Holies and have direct fellowship with God. But just as the children of Israel could not go into the Holy of Holies, okay, the prophet Isaiah shows us something about garments too. He shows us the garments can be also a symbol of sin in our lives. So these garments for the priests back in the Torah here, they were symbolic of new life. They were symbolic of being separated for God's service. But you know what? Garments can also be symbolic of sin in our lives. And the prophet Isaiah has some very direct imagery about that. I want you to read with me Isaiah 64, 6. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 64, 6. We all have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. So just as garments can be used to physically separate people for good reasons, garments are symbolic of sin in other ways. And the imagery here, we have to catch what God is trying to say here. Because if you look at the imagery God is using, the polluted garment that Isaiah is referring to is actually a menstrual cloth for a woman during her monthly period cycle. So God is trying to make a point here that garments can be used for good, but also garments can be used symbolically to show sin, to show separation from God. So we have to be careful. You know, people use garments all day for all over for different reasons. You know, people put on military garments. That signifies that they're a military person. People put on other types of – when people die in Judaism, you put on sackcloth, right? That's symbolic. That's a garment you put on. When someone is crowned a king, the crown is put on them. That's a – and the robe. And Joseph was given a special tunic, a special garment. These are all symbols. They're all visual symbols for us. And God is using visual imagery to try to get us to understand sin and how we need to choose the right path. And he's using all of these ways to reinforce. You know, he's utilizing all of our senses to reinforce the power of his ways and the position of the priests. Because of Yeshua and his sacrifice for us, and because we're dead to sins and alive in Yeshua, we are washed clean. We are able to put on holy garments as well. This is all symbolic of us as priests, just as the priests went through it. See, people say, oh, I read Leviticus, I read Numbers, and it did nothing for me. I just got bored, or I glazed over it. It really doesn't mean anything to me as a believer today. It means a lot to you as a believer today. Just as the priest did all these things, we need to symbolically, spiritually do all these things. Isaiah 61:10. Let's turn to Isaiah 61:10. As you're turning, you know that we need to be washed clean today. And the Bible talks about how we can have garments, special garments as priests today. It's not physical garments, but there's symbolic garments that we can have as believers. And even back in the prophet Isaiah, God talks about this. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. This is really interesting imagery. You know, the garments are used visually for many different reasons. We talked about showing sin with the menstrual cloth. We talked about the priests and their garments. Now we're seeing imagery in Isaiah 61 about the bride and the bridegroom and how the bride adorns herself with jewels. That's a garment type thing she wears. And the bridegroom decks himself like a priest, it says, with a beautiful headdress. But we, as believers, as priests before the Lord, are putting on the garments of salvation. That's an important set of garments. That's better than any robe you could put on. That's better than any crown or any diamond or any jewelry you could wear. And jewelry, you know how expensive jewelry can be, how precious jewelry can be. How precious is the garment of salvation that you're putting on, right? How precious is that for us as believers? We are to adorn ourselves. We are to put on these garments of salvation, just as the priests put on their garments before their service. We can't, listen, you can't serve the Lord without the garments of salvation on you. You know, many people try to do it. Many quote-unquote believers, right? Oh, I'm a Christian or I'm a believer or whatever. And they go out and they try to do good works. We see many non-religious people in the world being very philanthropic, giving money for this research and giving, you know, millions of dollars for this endowment to feed people, to clothe people. It is great. Don't get me wrong. But it is not like you have to put on those garments of salvation to truly be in the Lord's service, to be part of his everlasting kingdom and to build his spiritual kingdom. You don't need to put on garments of jewels. You don't need to be going and spending all this money and doing this. You need to put on the garments of salvation. That's the starting point for the service of God. Now, you could go out and do philanthropic things. You can go out and give your money. That's not a problem. But what I'm saying is the proper way to do it at the beginning is to put on those garments of salvation. Because unless you have those special garments from the Lord on, you are not a priest before the Lord. You have to have the blood of Yeshua. You have to be a born again, immersed with the water spiritually in your life so that you can do the work of the priest. Or else you're just being a counterfeit priest. We want to be true priests unto the Lord. So we need to wash ourselves in that water, be cleaned, and we need to put those garments of salvation on. Amen. Now, the third thing is the oil. Leviticus 8:12. Talking about what Moses did with Aaron and the priests. He's in Leviticus 8:12. And he, Moses, poured out some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Oil was often used in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament to sanctify or consecrate someone. When David was made king by the prophet Samuel, Samuel anointed his head with oil. The oil is symbolic of the anointing of God, of the consecration of the person receiving the oil for service unto the Lord. Oil is also associated with the Holy Spirit. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Ruach of God. The anointing with oil symbolizes the presence of the Spirit to empower the priest's life. This is why they were anointed. They were set apart. They were consecrated. They were washed. They put on the garments. And now they had the oil poured on them, symbolizing new life, presence of the Spirit, and empowerment to do the work of God. The word Mashiach, the Hebrew word Mashiach, it's translated into English as Messiah, right? It means anointed one, okay? Mashiach means anointed one, and it has to do with this exact thing. When you look at the Hebrew in these verses, when it comes to that anointing oil, the word in Hebrew is Mashiach. You see it there in the text. In the Hebrew text, when we are anointed with Mashiach, Messiah, Yeshua, we are symbolically anointed by the anointed one, the one who anoints, right? Mashiach anoints us as priests. This is really powerful. When we're anointed with Messiah, Yeshua, we're consecrated unto the Lord for work for him. He is the one who comes and anoints us. The anointed one comes. Anoints us with oil. And now we are consecrated. We are of Yeshua. We are of the Lord to go do service to him. This is how powerful and symbolic this oil was to put on the priests. So we see the oil. Now the last thing I want to talk about today is the offerings that were given. In verses 14 through 21, we see the bull and the ram shown in the text. The bull was to be a sin offering. I'm not going to go and read it because of time. The bull that was given was to be a sin offering. Okay? Aaron laid his hand on it as an atoning sacrifice. Then there were two rams. So you had the bull, the sin offering, and then you had the rams. The first ram was a burnt offering. Remember, we talked last week about a burnt offering, which symbolizes the total dedication to the Lord. That's the symbolism of that first animal sacrifice there. That was a symbolic dedication to the Lord. What I want to talk about in depth now is that second offering that was given. We need to catch this. The second ram that was offered up. Verses 22 to 24. Let's look at Leviticus 8, 22 to 24. We don't want to miss this today. And he presented the other ram, the ram of ordination. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. And he killed it. And Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he presented Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. Sometimes you read things in Scripture and it's like, what's that all about? Why did God choose a toe and a right? It's bizarre, right? On the surface, when you don't look at the context. But we need to dig into why God does things. God does everything for a reason in the Bible. The ram of the ordination was presented, the second ram. Aaron and his sons put their hands on its head. We saw last week, when you put your hand on the head of the animal before it's to be killed, it's a way of symbolically transferring your sins of that person to the animal. Okay? Remember last week what happened was when the burnt offering was offered up, the owner of the animal, the one who wanted their sins atoned for, they had to come, they had to put their hand on the animal before they killed the animal, and then the priest chopped up the animal and sacrificed the animal on the altar. That was the way to have sins cleansed through the burnt offering. The owner had to do it, put their hand on it, kill the animal themselves, symbolizing their atonement. That's the animal that's going to die for my sins. So today what we're reading is, with the ram of ordination, we read about Aaron and his sons had to put their hand on the animal because it was a means of cleansing them for service as priests. Okay, so this ram of ordination, Moses or Aaron comes, they put their hands on it, it's killed, Moses takes the blood, and then he takes the blood of that offering for Aaron and his sons, and what does he do? He puts it on Aaron's right ear, his right thumb, and his big toe. Why did he do this? It seems pretty random, but it's not. Why? The ear represents hearing. The thumb represents doing, and the toe represents walking. Okay, let me say that again. Why was the blood put on the ear, the thumb, and the toe? The ear represents hearing, the thumb represents doing, and the toe represents walking. Hearing, doing, and walking. Aaron was to be the high priest. His task was to hear the word of the Lord, to do the work of the Lord, and to walk out his life in the service of the Lord. These are the three things he was ordained, set apart, consecrated, and called to do. That was a symbolic way of taking that animal whose blood was shed. Remember, we read about this in Leviticus 17:11. Go back and read it again. The blood is what cleanses you. It's not the animal. It's not the physical act. It's the blood of the killing of the animal, the shedding of the blood that atones for you. And that blood was put on Aaron for service to the Lord. This is really powerful stuff. For service, we can apply this today to our lives, can't we? As followers of Yeshua, we are anointed with the blood of that ordination ram. Who's that ordination ram? It's Yeshua himself. His blood, his shed blood, which atones for our sins, is then put on symbolically on our ear, our thumb, and our toe. Why? Because we are supposed to hear the word of the Lord. We are supposed to do the works of the Lord. And we are supposed to walk out our lives as priests in the service of the Lord. You can't do that as a counterfeit. Like I told you, you got to have that blood on you to do it. You got to have the blood covering you, washing over your sins. That blood of Yeshua. Man, I'm telling you, salvation is right there in the Torah. Yeshua is right there in the Torah. We need to pray that our Jewish people have the scales taken off their eyes to see this important point. We miss it. Jewish people miss it all the time. And our prayer is that all Israel will be saved, the scripture says, and that the Jewish people, from the ultra-liberal to the ultra-orthodox, will see this powerful thing, will see the symbolism and the centrality of the blood. You know, in traditional Judaism today, it's not about the blood. It's about good works. Why is it not about the blood? Because they have no way of killing animals and shedding blood today. Because the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So what have we done in traditional Judaism? We've made it about good works, good things. Now, good works are great. Don't get me wrong. But it's not the same as having that blood. We know in Messianic Judaism, we know that the blood of Yeshua consecrates us and separates us for work as priests to do the kingdom of the Lord's work, to do the kingdom work for the Lord. We know it's only with the blood that Aaron and his priests could be consecrated for service. If this didn't happen, they wouldn't be consecrated. They wouldn't be ready to go and minister. They had to take that ram. They had to kill the ram on behalf of them so they could be cleansed of their sins, so they could minister before the people. You've got to take the blood of Yeshua and have it wash over you for you to be cleansed for service to the Lord. There's no other way. There's no other way in the Torah. There's no other way today. The only way for us to be true priests for the Lord and to be on God's team, so to speak, is to take that blood. And symbolically, it's the lobe of the ear. It's the thumb. It's the toe. We need to be doing these things. Hearing, doing, and walking. It's not just enough to say, I'm a believer. I got it. I'm going into heaven. Check that off. Now I can go hang out until I die and I can go to heaven. No, no, no. We need, that's the first step. God wants to sanctify you for service. You got service. We got work to do, people. We can't just sit back and drink some iced tea and hang out on the back porch. We've got work to do. Hearing, doing, and walking. We need to be hearing, doing, and walking today. We need to hear the word of the Lord and listen what the Lord is saying to us. What is God saying to you? Are we listening? You know, we're so busy sometimes we don't stop. I'm so busy sometimes I forget to stop. Stop for 5 seconds. Listen. What's he saying? A lot of times he doesn't speak from that thunderous mountain, you know, Mount Sinai. The prophet Elijah found out. Sometimes it's in a whisper. It's in the wind. You got to listen to hear it. You got to hear the word of the Lord. What is God saying to you today? You got to do the things that the Lord says to do. God tells you to go over here. You got to go over there. A lot of times we don't want to do what God says. But we got to do things. Faith without works is dead. We have to combine the faith with the works, with the service of the Lord. And you know what? We're to walk out our faith. It's not just enough to hear it and to, you know, do it in our life. We got to walk it out. You got to walk it out. Okay? We got to progress in our service as priests. God is calling us to be priests. We've been anointed as priests to minister before the Lord. You know how important that is? It was the most important job you could have back in the Torah times was to be a priest, was to be a Levite. The most important job you could have is not to be a doctor in today's society. It's not to be a lawyer. It's not to be a business person. It's not to be the head of a charity. It's to be a priest for the Lord. That's the eternal gift that keeps on giving, so to speak. That's the thing that we need. You know what? Go be a doctor. Go be a lawyer. Go be a business person. But more than any of that, you're a priest before the Lord. And we have to learn about how to do it. We have to work that out. We have to hear, we have to do, and we have to walk if we're going to be effective as priests of the Lord. Listen, we've been anointed with the blood of the Ram of ordination. This Ram represents Yeshua who died for our sins. We have been anointed as priests to minister before the Lord. Yeshua, our Ram of fullness. It's also called the Ram of fullness, the second Ram. It's the Ram of ordination, but it's also referred to in Judaism as the Ram of fullness. Why? Because God gives us that fullness in Yeshua. You don't need anything more than Yeshua. Unfortunately, a lot of times in the world, we get these crazy subsets and denominations that splinter off of mainstream, and they believe, well, I'll take Yeshua, and I'll take a little bit of this, and I'll take New Age is all about that. Oh, he's just a great prophet. Let me use some Yeshua. Let me use some of Buddha. Let me use them all. No. It's Yeshua, and that's it. There's no other. There's no other than the blood of the Ram of fullness. Why? Because he is the Ram of fullness. That's all you need. You don't need the teachings of Confucius. You don't need education that the world can give you, so to speak. Now, don't get me wrong, education's good. But hear what I'm saying. Spiritually, the ram of fullness gives you everything you need to minister in the service of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9, let's close again with this scripture. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Let's pray together. Lord, God of Israel, it is amazing, Lord, your word. It's amazing, God, because the things you said thousands of years ago about the priests, it's amazing how that can come to life for us today as priests before you. Lord, help us to get this stuff in us. As we study your Torah, which we are called to do, we're told to study your word. As we dig into these first five books, as we dig into the Torah, Lord, it teaches us about you. It shows us about you. Just as the priests were set apart through the washing, the immersion, through the garments that they put on, through the oil, and through the ram. Lord, we, as believers, as followers of Yeshua, we have to be immersed, cleansed of our sins. Lord, we have to put on the garments of salvation. That means accepting Yeshua in our lives. We have to be anointed with the oil that the anointed one, Yeshua, pours on our heads. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have to be ready to serve him. Thank you, Lord God. You've called us to this service today. But some of us, most of us, are not ready. We're still at point A. We got to get to point B. And Lord, time is running out. You're calling us. You're calling us, Lord God, but we're getting stuck. We're getting stuck in, forget first gear, we're getting stuck in park. We can't get into the drive in the car. Lord, help us to get into drive. Help us to take off down the road of our spiritual lives. Push us, Lord God. Show us. Reveal to us, Lord God, the areas, the ways where we are being stopped from ministering. And Lord, help us to deal with it. Help us to deal with it, Lord God, so we can get to where we need to be as priests before you. Lord, I pray for a special anointing on every person that's hearing this, whether here in the sanctuary, on the live stream, listening on the app, Lord God, or on the website, whatever. Lord, I pray for a special anointing, a special consecration, that we would shed that chametz, that we would shed that sin out of our lives and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me of my sins. I accept you, Yeshua, as that sacrifice whose blood covers my sins. Thank you, Lord. And we are consecrated then for your service. Lord, help us to just walk towards you. Start walking towards that call, that calling you've given us as priests, as ministers. Every person here, Lord God, may they respond to you and be hearing, doing, and walking that every day, Lord God. We pray for that understanding and we pray for that ram of fullness. Yeshua, thank you, Yeshua. Fill us up today. Fill us up today as we prepare ourselves for work in your service. We thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen. And amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. You can be seated.